Good morning. If you have a Bible, if you would please turn to Matthew chapter 13, the text that Jeff read for us a few moments ago, Matthew chapter 13. We're going to read that together in just a few moments. We want to welcome you here this morning. As we've already mentioned, today is a little bit unusual if you're visiting with us. This is the day that the elders set each year in which they speak to the congregation about where we've been over the past year and some hopes that they have for the congregation in the year to come. It's a unique opportunity for you if you're visiting with us. As was mentioned, if you need to leave after our worship services, please feel free to do so. But you're welcome as well to stay and to listen and to visit with us about the work here. And we're looking forward to that work that's going to come in the next year. And we're also happy about the things that have been accomplished over this past year. You know, a little less than a month ago now, we, on our calendar, started a new year. And whenever you start a new year, you recognize that there are things that have been left behind. There are things that you have done and things that have been accomplished. And I think all of us have a tendency to kind of go back and to look over what's happened whenever a new year rolls around, whether it's a birthday and you think about what you've accomplished in your last year of life, or if it's a new calendar year. And the same is true as we begin today to think about the plans that we might have for this coming year. In my own work, I think about those things that have been accomplished and those things that lie ahead in the coming year. Certainly, there have been a lot of good studies that have been conducted here at Olson Park. We look back and we think about some of those things that we've looked at. We just completed today that Bible survey that the elders set as a goal for us a year ago today, in which we go through the entire Bible in a year, both in reading schedule and also as we looked at a survey of it. Brother Curtis and I, once a month throughout the year, had a special study that we'd look at with different characters of the Bible, and we completed that, and I think it was a good experience for us as well. We also had a series in connection with the goal that the elders had set for us last year of thinking about how this is a life of preparation. One of the parts of that was they wanted me at the end of the year, near the last part of the fall, to present a special study on what the Bible tells us about different stages of life. And we went through and looked at the various stages of life and had a little book that went along with that. And I feel like that was a profitable thing for us. I certainly grew in the study and preparation of that. We think as well about the preacher training program that we've been involved in. And now, as we are within the last 6 months of that two-year program, if you are visiting with us and you're not familiar with it, we here at Olson have begun to conduct a two-year training program for young preachers that will have a young man come in and work with us, and we'll study pretty heavily and give him the opportunity to preach and to teach. And Brother Curtis Carr, while it's been working with us, is in the last 6 months of his program, and we appreciate the work that he's done. He's in those difficult stages right now trying to look for a place where he'll go and preach. And we appreciate the efforts that he's engaged in, and he very soon will begin a new work. And we look at this with sadness but joy as well at the fact that he has accomplished the good work that he's done here. We think as well about some of the various projects that have been a part of this work. I mentioned to you some time back that when I first came here, I designed the website, and it worked pretty good, but there were always a few glitches with it. And the way technology changes, it had come to the point where some of the new browsers actually wouldn't work right with it. And so a month or so ago, we finished a major redesign of the website, and it even has a few new features available now, one where you can post a question. And I called your attention to the bulletin today that is one of the first questions that we received on that post a question section. And that was a big chore, but I think it's worked pretty well, and it works a little bit more seamlessly. Also, personally, as many of you know, I've been working on the writing of a commentary on Matthew, and that's a big chore, 28 chapters, but making progress on that, and I am looking at hopefully finishing it within about a year. But then we look to the new things that are ahead of us and those new kinds of experiences that will come in the year ahead. If the Lord continues to allow the world to stand and grants us life, we will have new studies that we will engage in as well. We've been announcing for some time that we're going to start in the Sunday morning adult class looking at 2 Corinthians. And back in the back, there are books that I'd encourage you to get if you haven't done so that will be the study material that we'll look at probably over the next two trimesters where we go through this wonderful book of 2 Corinthians. There are new prospects as well. You know, we put in a great deal of time and expense in these bulletins that we produce every week. And what we had begun to find was that a number of those were kind of accumulating, and it used to be that we'd just throw those out. And it seemed like such a shame to just throw away that which so much money had been spent on and also which had teaching material. And so I talked to the elders some time back about the possibility of on a Saturday getting together some that are free or getting together some young people and just putting those in some people's doors. Wouldn't have to necessarily try to knock on their door, but just as a way to kind of get some feedback out into the congregation, to get some contact out into the community, excuse me. And that's something that lies ahead that I hope may prove beneficial to us. We're also going to have some new works. As most of you know, when Brother Curtis leaves, we are already looking at a young man that has agreed to come and participate in the training program for the next period, and that's Jason Garcia. Many of you know Jason. He worshipped with us a few summers ago when he was here on an internship with a secular job that he was doing. And Jason is planning to come and to be with us when Brother Curtis finishes his preacher training session. And we look forward to that. Jason's a good young man, and I'm sure that he'll do a good job for us just as Curtis has done. But we also have some new opportunities. We've been announcing for a little bit that Brother Chuck and I, in fact, this afternoon, are going to be leaving to go on a study trip to Israel. And we'll be gone, I think, for about 12 days. And we would certainly covet your prayers as we travel. I think it'll be a wonderful experience. And the plan is that when we get back, we want to try to present some information to the congregation. There's just some wonderful ways in which when you go to the places that are described in Scripture, it can add to your study and add to your teaching. And that certainly is something that we hope to be able to take advantage of when we come back from that. But again, I would covet your prayers during our travel. In Matthew chapter 13, though, as we think about what we are going to do in the year ahead, and as the elders are going to talk to us in just a few minutes about their plans for the year ahead, I'd like us to remind ourselves of a passage of Scripture that hopefully is very familiar to all of us that Brother Jeff read a few moments ago, and that is the parable of the sower. Now, if you remember the way that the parable is laid out, it describes these different types of soil, these types of soil that are either surrounded by thorns or stony ground or the good ground. But unlike some parables that are given in Scripture, what is unique about the parable of the sower is that it actually is given an explanation by the Lord. And I'd ask you to look down, if you would, in verses 18 through 23, where our Lord gives an explanation of this beautiful parable of the sower. Verse 18, going down through verse 23, notice it says, "Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who receives seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, and who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30." You know, a few things about this parable I think are very evident. And that is, first of all, the fact that life in Christ is about growth. If we were to ever imagine that we could be obedient to the gospel and simply remain the same as we are the first day that we come out of the waters of baptism, we're mistaken. We are to grow. We are to mature. We are to produce fruit in a number of different ways. I think that is evident. But it's also evident that we can, as we live our life, if we are not growing as we ought to, we can, as the parable describes it, be devoured. We can wither. We can be choked by the thorns, the cares, and worries of this life. It is evident as well that we are to produce fruit. We are not to just simply be dead branches. We are not simply to be stagnant in our life in Christ. But we are to produce fruit. You know, the Bible will speak of fruit in a number of different ways. The fruit that I think is characterized in this parable, it can be thought of in a number of different ways. For example, turn over to Galatians chapter 5 for a moment. Galatians chapter 5. It can be that we bear fruit in Christ in the fact that we mature in Christ. As I mentioned, life in Christ is about growth. We come into Christ as a babe. We grow spiritually. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24, talk to us about those ways in which our character is changed and reshaped in Christ. And this is a type of fruit. Notice in Galatians chapter 5, we read a little bit about what is described as the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 22 tells us this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." It ought to be that in Christ we come to love others more. We come to love the Lord more. It ought to be that we grow in our ability to endure things that are trials in life. As we grow in long-suffering, we grow in faithfulness to the Lord. We grow in self-control. It shouldn't be that those temptations that put us off course early on in Christ continue to cause us to stumble. We grow, and we grow in gentleness. We grow in all of these aspects of our service to the Lord. But it's also true that we bear fruit just simply in living a life that is a life in which we do good. Over in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 12, there near the end of this general epistle to Jewish Christians, near the end of it, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, the writer has been talking a little bit about the sense in which hardship and trial, even persecution, can be seen as a type of discipline or chastening from the Lord. And that point is kind of summarized in verse 11 by saying, "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields," notice this, "the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Notice, simply by growing in righteousness, doing those things that are right, putting off those things that are wrong, that's a way in which we bear fruit. In other words, if we are not growing in those things that are right, growing in doing those things that are right, then we're not bearing fruit, as the parable in Matthew chapter 13 talked about. But there's also the sense in which bearing fruit has to do with the idea of spreading the borders of the kingdom, taking the message of the gospel to those around us in a lost and dying world is certainly a way in which we can bear fruit when, in fact, those who were lost in sin come to understand their need for the gospel and are obedient to that. We can see that as bearing fruit as well. Notice some words of Jesus in John chapter 4, verses 33 through 37, as we read this. "Therefore, the disciples said to one another, 'Has anyone brought him anything to eat?' Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together, for in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps.'" Notice verse 38. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. That may be that the sense in which the fruit that's being described here, the fruit for eternal life, has to do with the sense in which we do what the Lord asks us to do and commands us to do. We are acceptable to Him and can reap that fruit of eternal life. But notice here this figure where he describes the fields are white for harvest. He is speaking of that sense in which those that are lost, it's time for them to come into the Lord. It's time for them to be acceptable to Him and to be obedient. And we can bear fruit in that sense. Let it be that in our lives, as we think about this year ahead and as we listen here in a few moments to the things that the elders will talk to us about, may it be that in this coming year, we do all that we can to grow in every aspect of growth in Christ. May it be that we commit ourselves in every aspect to bear fruit in our lives. May we do all that we can to avoid our life being found by the wayside, as the parable of the sower talks about it, or to be found in thorny soil, or to be found on the stony ground. May it be that our life is one in which we are that good ground growing spiritually in the year to come. It's a little bit shorter lesson than often because we're going to give the elders the time that they need to talk to us. But I hope that this morning, if you are here and you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, you would hear the parable of the sower and you would recognize that we have an obligation to that one that loved us and shed His blood on our behalf. If you've never been obedient to the gospel, would you not this morning put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God? Would you not confess that faith before those who are here? Repent and turn away from your sins and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. If as a child of God, you haven't been bearing fruit, you haven't been growing spiritually, maybe you've even gotten tangled up in sin, would you not use this opportunity that we afford you to ask for the prayers of the brethren here? If we can help you, won't you come while we stand and sing?